we all know Title VII of the Civil Rights Act protects race, national origin, religion, gender, sexual orientation now. We know that, so if a person who falls into one of those protected categories believes that they're paying less than someone who falls outside of those protected categories for doing the same or similar work, they are able to bring an equal pay claim or a disparate pay claim. Age Discrimination in Employment Act, the same thing. The Americans with Disability Act, the Rehab Act of 1973, which also covers disability, and the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008. All of these are protected categories requiring employers not to discriminate against people in the, who fall in those categories based on their compensation. Now, the granddaddy of equal pay statutes is, of course, the Equal Pay Act of 1963. The Equal Pay Act prohibits sex-based wage discrimination between men and women who work in the same establishment, who perform jobs that require substantially equal skill, effort, and responsibility under similar working conditions. We all know wages is a broad term. It can include more than just hourly pay. It includes bonuses, company cars, expense accounts, benefits. Now, an employer cannot lower the wage of the wages of higher earning employees just to make wages equal when there is a complaint under the Equal Pay Act. I included that last bullet point because when I was in private practice, I had a few clients tell me that they could easily fix their pay equity problems without doing a time-consuming pay equity audit, by just handling complaints one by one and lowering the pay of the comparators if someone complained about discriminatory pay. Well, the bad news is that the EPA prohibits employers from doing that for the purpose of resolving an equal pay claim. So I remind you now, just like I reminded my clients then, this strategy does not work, cannot replace doing a pay audit. Under the Equal Pay Act, another reason for performing audits, pay audits, is that the burden for plaintiffs to prove an equal pay claim is simply not as heavy as it is in a discrimination claim because there is no need to show discriminatory intent under the Equal Pay Act. So this is a much lighter burden because the analysis primarily covers objective factors. So we know payroll or compensation records will reflect compensation for the plaintiff and the comparators. Employee records will probably reflect job descriptions and duties, and performance appraisals will show all the how the relevant parties have performed vis-a-vis performance expectations. I've included a case here that I'm not going to talk about now, but that holds for the premises that I just spoke about, but it's the Lindsley case. It's a 2021 Fifth Circuit case that, as we'll discuss later, goes through each of the elements of things that plaintiffs as well as employers must show to either prove a claim or defend against a claim under the Equal Pay Act and Title VII. It's a great case. I posted it here because it supported the issues in the slide, but it's also a great place if you're just looking for guidance and or case law to help you with your case. Another great motivating factor for employers to do performance pay audits is the Lilly Ledbetter Act. The Lilly Ledbetter Act modified the statutes of limitations for bringing EPA claims. Each time an employee receives a paycheck that stems from a discriminatory pay practice or policy, the two-year limitations period begins to run if that's the first time the employee was aware of the discriminatory pay practice or policy. So whereas a pay audit might have picked up the fact that there's a wage gap or pay gap that can't be explained or legally justified, if you don't do that and the pay gap continues for years and years unnoticed by you or by the company, the claim can still be actionable years later. Okay, State laws have also provided incentives for employers to pay attention to pay equity issues through pay audits. I included this slide that says, hang on, this is going to be bad. And I guess that depends on whether you represent employees or employers. And I use as an example the statute recently enacted in Illinois. For those of you who have employees in that state, you'll want to know that recently enacted SB 1480 amends the Illinois Equal Pay Act to require that businesses with over 100 employees obtain a what's called an Equal Pay Registration Certificate from the Department of Labor by March 2023.